Hey, Jared Morris here. If you know anything about Rainmaker Digital and Copyblogger, you may know that we produce incredible live events. Well, some would say that we produce incredible live events as an excuse to throw great parties, but that's another story. We've got another one coming up this October in Denver. It's called Digital Commerce Summit, and it is entirely focused on giving you the smartest ways to create and sell digital products and services. You can find out more at rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit. We'll be talking about Digital Commerce Summit in more detail as it gets closer. But for now, I'd like to let a few attendees from our past events speak for us.
For me, it's just hearing from the experts. I mean, this is my first industry event, so it's awesome to learn new stuff and also get confirmation that we're not doing it completely wrong where I work.
The best part of the conference for me is being able to mingle with people and realize that you have connections with everyone here. It feels like LinkedIn Live. I also love the parties after each day, being able to talk to the speakers, talk to other people over here. First time, people have been here before.
I think the best part of the conference for me is understanding how I can service my customers a little more easily. Seeing all the different facets and components of various enterprises then helps me pick the best tools.
Hey, we agree. One of the biggest reasons we host a conference every year is so that we can learn how to service our customers, people like you, more easily. And here are just a few more words from folks who have come to our past live events.
It's really fun. I think it's a great mix of beginner information and advanced information, so I'm really learning a lot and having a lot of fun.
Conference is great, especially because it's a single track conference where you don't get distracted by like which session should I go to and am I missing something.
I mean, the training and everything, the speakers have been awesome, but I think the coolest aspect for me has been connecting with both people who are putting it on and then the other attendees.
So that's it for now. There's a lot more to come on Digital Commerce Summit, and I really hope to see you there in October. Again, to get all the details and the very best deal on tickets, head over to rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit. Alrighty. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to The Digital Entrepreneur. I am your host, Jared Morris, the VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and you are listening to episode number 27. And on this week's episode, I am joined by a man who says that hard work and helping people was instilled in his DNA. Sounds like our kind of guy. This man started two businesses at the age of 21 and two more after that. And currently, he is a digital marketing consultant for purposeful companies and the host of the podcast Sell More, a show for entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, marketers, and aspiring entrepreneurs who want to sell more online. And get this. He says that his goal for the next 5 years is to help 5 billion people, that's billion with a B, with their efforts to grow a business. Whoa, right? I mean, clearly this is not someone who needs help setting bold goals. So who is this man helping people by the billions? He is Brandon Lewin, and he is a digital entrepreneur and our guest on this week's episode. Now, real quick, before I bring you my discussion with Brandon, I want to let you know about a webinar that I hosted recently with Brian Clark and Chris Garrett. It was about the Rainmaker platform, and specifically, it was about Rainmail, the new email marketing feature built right into the Rainmaker platform. And you've heard us talk on the show before about how much having email marketing baked right into the Rainmaker platform would be a game changer. And now it's here with plenty of updates and new Rainmail features on the way, too. And I actually just switched my site, assemblycall.com, over to Rainmail, and I've already seen a big difference in the growth of both my email subscribers and my site members, as well as their engagement once they subscribe or sign up, which is really the goal, right? I've gotten this increased engagement by having my email marketing, my landing pages, my content pages, my marketing automation, all able to work together in a fully integrated way. So we took some time a few weeks back with Rainmaker platform customers to answer some frequently asked questions and provide some use case examples of the difference that Rainmail can make. The live event when we held it was just for customers because we really wanted to hone in on the questions that customers had who had used Rainmail and get, you know, just some of their experience so that we could talk about it. But we're happy to share the replay with you so that you can learn more about what Rainmail is, what it can do, and why it takes the Rainmaker platform to the next level as a true all-in-one solution for digital marketing and sales. In other words, the perfect solution built by digital entrepreneurs for digital entrepreneurs. So if you want to watch the webinar replay, totally free. You don't have to sign up for anything. Just go to rainmaker.fm/rainmail and you'll be redirected to the replay page. I just posted it a little while ago on the Rainmaker platform blog, but go to rainmaker.fm/rainmail. That URL will redirect you there. And if you have questions, just know, as I hope you do already, that you can always reach me on Twitter at Jared Morris, JerodMorris. I will be happy to answer. Once again, that URL is rainmaker.fm/rainmail. All righty. Well, now let's get to this week's discussion with the man who won't stop working until he's impacted 5 billion people, Brandon Lewin. Here it is right now on The Digital Entrepreneur. All righty, Mr. Lewin, welcome to The Digital Entrepreneur. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited. I can't wait to share a little bit about my story and see if we can help some people, inspire them, and do all that good stuff as entrepreneurs as we do.
You know, if only we were in person sharing a community mosaic right now, that would make this even better.
Especially at 10 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Nothing better than a good cold brew at 10 o'clock in the morning.
That's right. That's
makes
right.
For an interesting rest of the day, let me tell you.
So, okay. So, Brandon, I've got to start out by asking you this, because I found this quote on your LinkedIn profile and it kind of blew my hair back. And that is, and here's the quote. You say, "My goal for the next 5 years is to help 5 billion people with their efforts to grow a business." That is one heck of a goal.
Yes.
How are you going to do that?
Oh, how am I going to do that? Well, that's a very good question. I haven't quite figured that out. No, I'm just joking. So there's a lot of things that I'm doing in a concerted effort to do that. One is, you know, just for the last year, I have been doing as much as I possibly can from sharing content. So when I say 5 billion, doesn't mean I'm necessarily getting paid by 5 billion people to help them out, but it's just about sharing content. And I think that comes down to some of this, you can actually track some of the numbers. Some of it is not trackable. So, you know, really simply what I do is I share as much content as I possibly can. I've always been a big believer of just giving away the farm. There are some people who share that mentality. A lot of people do, but there's still a lot of people that want to keep stuff close to their chest and want to make people pay for it. And so my thing is just really first and foremost, sharing as much content as I possibly can, getting on platforms that have large audiences to be able to share that. I track those numbers, so not everything is trackable, but I track as much as I possibly can. I have, in the last year, have hit over 10,000 plus people. I don't have the specific numbers, but we're moving in that direction. Obviously, those numbers need to jump if I'm going to be going to 5 billion. But it's sharing content, doing it through podcasts, videos, anything I could possibly can. And then I also am doing online training programs. I'm speaking in various cities. And so I'm hitting, like I said, I'm trying to hit the numbers as much as I possibly can. And then just the services that I provide. So though that's right now the efforts. I do have bigger plans as far as creating services and products that are going to hit, you know, the millions. And that's where it comes down to, even getting into the, you know, into other aspects of, you know, like service-based businesses, I shouldn't say service-based business because that's what I'm doing right now. It's SaaS businesses because that number can really jump once you start hitting those type of, or you start providing those type of services. So those are all in the works. But from the basic stuff right now, it's just sharing content, man.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I love the big, bold goal. You know, it's one of those, even if you don't reach the 5 billion, say you reach 1 billion, you know, or two, that's still pretty impressive. So,
absolutely. You know, that's actually, I don't know if you read the book Bold, but that's where it came from. It said, if you can help 1 billion, and I hear this all the time now, but if you can reach 1 billion people, you're going to be very, very wealthy in a lot of different fronts. And I want to be wealthy. That's always been a huge goal of mine. Not just so much about being, you know, having materialistic type things, but, you know, you realize as you get a little bit older and wiser and you start having kids and family and all that stuff, you start to realize how much wealth and money really can affect the world. And so that's something I've gotten more and more involved. It's always been something that's been close to me, giving back to charity, but I've been getting more and more involved in it as of recently. And so there are just so many people that want to really and are currently really doing big things in the world. So by me being able to hit that 5 billion people and create a wealth of you know, money, but also just connections and everything that comes with that, I can do so much more for the world. And that's always been a huge goal of mine.
Yeah. Well, you know, being able to reach a lot of people, being able to chart your own course, those are all, you know, really great benefits of digital entrepreneurship. And, you know, I've always felt that the number one benefit of digital entrepreneurship is freedom, the freedom to choose your projects, the freedom to chart your course, and ultimately the freedom to change your life and your family's life for the better. Besides freedom, what benefit of digital entrepreneurship do you appreciate the most?
Oh, man, besides, I mean, freedom comes down to everything, really. You know, my big thing is, you know, teaching people, you know, giving away stuff. I think besides the freedom, it's just having the flexibility to give away and do what I want to do. And that, I guess that still comes back to freedom. I have a hard time thinking of anything outside of that, but it's the flexibility. You know, what really sparked me to go back on my own, I you know, my story is a little bit, it goes up and down and there's a lot of different twists and turns, but I started off as an entrepreneur in college and then I ventured off and was doing my own businesses. And then I actually started my family and worked for some people. And I quickly learned that working for somebody else doesn't work well when you're an entrepreneur at heart.
Yeah.
When I went back on my own, it was really about it was something that I learned working for other people. And it was still in the agency world of doing digital marketing, was that those people didn't see the value in giving away information. And like I said, you know, there's still a lot of people that carry that kind of philosophy of not giving away and want to hold stuff close. And it just, to me, it's never worked. I always give things away. My philosophy is you give things away. And if people are going to take it and they're going to run with it and they're not going to pay you for your services, that's fine because they never were in the first place. And so, but then being able to just give it away and having that flexibility and saying, all right, I can wake up today. And if I feel like I want to give away my secrets to how to do this, I can do that. And I guess that really does come back down to freedom, but, that's really, to me, what's sparked getting back in the world of digital entrepreneurship.
So, you know, on that thought, take me back, and you kind of started to do this, but take me back to before you became a digital entrepreneur and tell us what you were doing and what was missing that led you to want to make a change.
So, I can go all, you want to go all the way back or, I mean, do we have enough time with all that?
Yeah, go all the way back. You can shorten it if you need to, but go all the way back.
All right. So, I'll try to keep it as abbreviated as possible because it can get kind of lengthy. So I actually in college went to school in DePaul in Chicago. And, it was at that time that I really just was always had an entrepreneur mind. I mean, when I was younger, my dad made me, it was the first taste I got as an entrepreneur. He told me that if I wanted a toy, I forgot what it was. I think it was like a transformer or something like that. And he's like, yeah, right. You're 10 years old. If you want this, you need to earn it. So I went out and it was in dead of winter in Chicago. I got a buddy of mine. We got a shovel. We went around the houses. We charged people $5 for a driveway and sidewalk. And we started shoveling driveways. And I think in the first couple of days, we made about $200 a piece. And so that's wow. Really where I got I got the taste for entrepreneurship. And it was great because, like, I like just helping people. That's something that I got right away on that sense. And so, and my dad's an entrepreneur. My mom's an entrepreneur. So it's just something that runs in our bloodline. And but then I went off to college. And my dad always told me this. He said, all right, if you're not playing sports and you're not in school, you're going to be working. So actually there was a summer when I was 13 years old. And at the time you're legally you weren't supposed to work. You couldn't get your permit till you were 14. He got me to work for one of his clients in a warehouse. And so I did that and I had to travel about an hour each way just to get there. And at that moment on, every time I wasn't playing a sport, I had a job and I worked my way through high school, through college up until here. And my hard work came from my dad, who taught me all of that. And not only did he teach me and made me do it, but he also showed me how it worked because he's an accountant. So, you know, especially during tax season, he's working, you know, 16-hour days. And so that really just instilled it in me. And I went in, when I went into college, I have always been a social person and very outgoing. So I had a really large network, and I even like would talk with my dad and his friends and his clients. And so we, and I always reached out to him. Like I might've been like far younger than them, but we had a relationship. And so, I developed this online ticket brokerage with a friend of mine back in 2003, I believe it was. And, it didn't last very long. It lasted 8 months, but it was my first taste of starting an online business. We created a website. I had a templated kind of website that actually allowed you to bring in tickets from other ticket brokers and stuff like that. And this was in the era wow. where StubHub was just starting. And so I had to put all this together. And then I was reaching out and building networks, and I was selling it, and I was delivering tickets. I was doing everything. And it was amazing. And I got my first taste of like networking and speaking in front of people during that period of time. And I just fell in love with the whole process. I was like, I never want to work for anybody else. This is what I want to do. And I continued to develop from that point on. Although it didn't work out, I actually really liked the sales part of it. And I made a concerted effort at that point to say, all right, I understand that sales works in everything. It doesn't matter what you're doing in business. You have to have the skill set of being able to sell, even if you're not in that sales role, is extremely important. So I focused on actually developing that skill set. So I went to work as an outside sales rep for a construction company, and I was horrible at it the first 3 months I did it. I almost got fired a bunch of times because I was just not producing the numbers, but something clicked. I was reading books. I was doing as much as I could, and it clicked. And I did really well, exceeded. I was the top five producer for like 2 years straight in within the company. And then transitioned, then went back on my own. And that's when I went into the world of financial services because my dad's an accountant. So it was an easy kind of transition, but that's where I got a taste of social media. This was back in 2009 when Facebook opened up, and I started actually putting friends and people that I haven't talked to in a while from high school and stuff into a group on Facebook. And then I started giving them information about what's going on in the market, why they should save up, all the stuff that I was helping people do. And it was just informational articles. It was a gray area at the time. We weren't really regulated. Although I got a few warnings from my, you know, higher ups, but I was just using social media, and I was using LinkedIn to connect with people that had networks to potential clients. And so I developed this process that really worked well, and business boomed. I was making so much money at the age of 24, I didn't know what to do with it. And I put it aside, and I actually started investing in another company, which was supposed to be an online business. And it was going to be, it was going to compete with LinkedIn because I saw some holes at the time, and luckily I didn't do that. But it transitioned into an actual digital marketing shop. And so we actually was a small agency. We helped other businesses do this social media stuff. And this is where I got really involved in email marketing. I was sending out newsletters all the time. I was doing webinars. And I remember, like, now that you see everybody doing webinars, that was a big part of my business back then. Yeah. And it just shows, like, sometimes when you do things before everyone catches up, you just got to keep with it. And I did. It did really well for me, and it still does. So it was something that I used a lot. And then, so fast forward, I grew that business into a small little agency. I had about six people working underneath me. And then I went into, then that's when I transitioned to go and work for somebody else. So I did that for 3 years, learned a lot, and then I went back on my own. And that's been about actually 2 years was my anniversary a couple of days ago. So
wow. That's congratulations.
Thank you. So it's been an amazing journey. I've learned a lot. There's been a lot of ups and downs. And I think as any entrepreneur, you learn a ton as you go through this. And that's the best thing. I can't say that I feel like I've been super successful, although a lot of people have given me praises for that. But I just still like I feel like there's so much more to be accomplished. And, you know, I'm looking forward to what the future holds.
All right. So tell me about a milestone or a moment in your career as a digital entrepreneur, since you've been back out on your own, that you were the most proud of.
Oh, a milestone. Well, being on your show is a big one.
Well, thank you.
No problem. I think, you know, really a milestone for me is putting up my podcast. You know, I have a podcast called Sell More. I hope you don't mind if I shamelessly plug it.
We already talked about it in the intro, so you're good.
Awesome. So my podcast, it's been a dream of mine for 3 years. Even when I was back working for somebody else, I wanted to really dive into it. I've always been a big fan of podcasts. I believe that you have to take advantage of the downtime that you have, and it might not be the most productive time, but whatever you can put in between your head and in your earbuds is really makes a difference. So I've always been a big fan of podcasts. And when I got that launched, it was a big milestone for me. And then what was even a bigger milestone after that was being recognized, having people like yourself and others reach out and ask me to be on their podcast. And to me, having that ability to be and having people recognize me for that, that is a big accomplishment for me.
All right, now let's go to the flip side. Tell me about the most humbling moment in your career as a digital entrepreneur and what you learned from it.
Oh, man. I have those every single day. you know, I have to say, like, you deal with a lot of customers, and not every customer is satisfied. And I've had a few that weren't. Luckily, we've been able to work through those kind of trials and tribulations and bumps and bruises. And there was this, you know, one moment I think was the most humbling was that I worked with a client, and we did this. We thought both him and I worked endlessly for about a month just trying to come up with this plan. And we came up with a plan to go out and reach out to partners, bloggers, other people, and do an outreach through establish the relationship to sell these products that he has. He sells like leather journals, and they do beautiful work. It's all handmade. It's all done in New Mexico. And so it's US based, and people love it. And he's been doing it forever, but he just didn't have a big enough following. And so we thought that partners were the way to go. It was one of these things where I just beating my head against the wall because we were reaching out and people just weren't responding or weren't responding the way we wanted them to. Everyone seems to charge for guest posts nowadays. And so it wasn't something we were looking for, a real strong strategic partnership. And that didn't come to fruition. And I said, you know what? And the goal was really just to grow the email list and to leverage other people's opportunity. And one day I just went back and I said, hey, I'm like, you know, have you ever actually used your current email list, which was about like 12,000 at the time? And he's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, have you ever asked them for, you know, to make a referral to maybe their friends and family? And he's like, no, I've actually never thought about that. So we wrote up this real quick email, sent it out, just basically asking people we were giving away this free little leather journal, and it was like a retail value about like $9-$10, but it was free. You just had to pay for shipping and handling. And so we sent it out, and in the first 2 weeks, we had about 5,000 people sign up or so. And
wow.
I mean, and it started going a little, like, it wasn't super viral, but it got put up on Reddit, and Reddit just blew up from there, and a huge amount of traffic and conversions were coming from Reddit. And so that was a very humbling moment, just thinking that I knew the way to go and we worked so hard on doing that when it just simply came back to just to reevaluate it. So it was both a success, but also very humbling. And it's helped me tremendously, though. That happened about 2 years ago when I first started, when I went back on my own. And ever since then, I take a much different approach with clients and just suggestions with people. So that was a big humbling moment for me.
Boy, it's always great when those humbling moments can turn into successes and teach us great lessons that we can then use in the future. You know, that's what you want to happen. So that's great.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So let's fast forward to now. So what is one word that you would use to sum up the status of your business as it stands today? One word.
One word. I would say limitless.
Limitless.
Yeah.
I would say when you're trying to reach 5 billion people, that's a good word for it to be.
Absolutely.
Why limitless? Why is that the word that came to mind?
Well, I think we're what I've done and how I position the business and what we're doing as far as giving away information and the direction that we're going, we've removed the ceiling. And not just from the business perspective, but from a mental perspective. I think it, as human beings, we're naturally programmed to think negatively. We typically, and I know I personally have gone through this a lot, where I've done some self-sabotaging efforts. The mental part of it is a big part, which I don't think enough entrepreneurs work on it, but it's a big part of it. And so I've done a lot of work into removing that from both the business perspective, but also from my own mental perspective, which has then only allowed us. And as soon as I started doing that, I mean, like, things have just skyrocketed. And so that's why I would describe it as limitless, because it starts off with the head, you know, the person running into everything and how their mentality is, and then what they preach to everyone else that's working within the organization. And then that also transitions into the business, and so how the business is taking off too. So that's why I would describe it as limitless.
And can you give us a brief description of the business? You know, exactly what kind of clients you're serving, what your main revenue streams are?
In a nutshell, really what we do is we help businesses achieve the goals that they're looking to achieve by doing unconventional, strategic, scientific, and a lot of times just bold moves in digital marketing. And so there isn't, what we're really good at is being generalist, and being able to piece together all these different, you know, content, marketing automation, email, sales funnels, pulling all these together to produce results. And so we work with, anywhere from, you know, one person shops to, you know, mid-sized companies. I really don't go beyond that, because what I like to focus in on is these up-and-coming purposeful businesses, businesses that are focused on making a difference more so than making a profit. And, you know, that what I find is that typically the small to mid-sized companies are those are the ones that have that type of focus. There are Fortune 500 companies that like to take that approach, at least from the outside. But from my own experience, I've never really met one quite yet that has really practiced that internally. So, so that's what we're doing. We basically either will train people. So we do a couple of different things. We'll either consult, come in, help them work with their team to put together different processes and systems and making sure things are actually working and moving in the direction they want to go. Or we'll actually train them. And then there's online digital programs that we offer as well that allows people to understand how these different processes work. And then we have a do it for you service as well. So we'll come on and we'll actually handle all these different services. Sometimes it's all of them, and we're almost like an outsourced marketing department. And in some cases, it's one specific piece of the puzzle that we'll actually do for people. And something that we're really focusing heavily right now is sales funnels, but also marketing automation. So that's a big piece where a lot of small businesses aren't taking advantage of that quite yet, but it's moving in that direction.
So it sounds like, so sales funnels, marketing automation is kind of at the top of your priority list. What specifically are you doing right now to incorporate those more, both in what you're doing and in what your clients are doing?
Yeah, so it's amazing. Like, these, some of the companies and clients that we work with, is that it's just about, you know, incorporating this, the software, and then building out these lead nurturing programs. Because it's like, you know, the age old saying has always been like, if you touch a customer, it takes on average 7-8 times to touch somebody to actually convert into a sale. And that actually can be a lot more, especially in the online world. And in some cases it could be a lot less, but you really need to get them to know who you are, build that trust, get them to like you, provide value, and then you can go ahead and ask. So we're just developing these processes that basically takes whatever, you know, company, if they have an online or offline process, we help them transition to an online process, building out, you know, different sequences, and then helping them, you know, draw people in, you know, doing like ebooks or webinars or evergreen webinars, which are becoming very more and more popular and more effective too, because people just like to have the on-demand focus instead of being able to be nailed down at one time. So we're building out these processes and just helping them convert, and then analyzing the results from it and segmenting audiences out to give them more specific topics. So I wouldn't say it's anything that isn't being done already by a lot of people, but it's just, there's a certain market of customers that are just not taking advantage of it quite yet because they're not educated about it. And we're finding a lot of B2B companies are like that. But then there's, you know, coaches and all these types of different industries that are up and coming that need help with this process.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the biggest challenge that you're facing right now in your business.
Oh, the growing pains, man.
Yeah.
That's always been a challenge of mine, is finding the right type of help. Bringing on people that buy into the vision, but also have a specific skill set and are willing to stay focused. And it's hard because a lot of times those rock stars, though, are the ones that are off on their own or, really want to just stay on as a freelancer or a contractor. And what I'm finding, though, is just teaming up with those people instead of trying to hire employees or getting people just to focus on just my business. It's just finding the people that are best suited for that specific project. And so building up almost like a rock star or what I call like an A team of contractors to work on these different projects and whatever it entails and whatever skill set is necessary. It's just bringing in the right people to take care of that.
Yeah. So let's open up your toolbox, if you'll allow us to. And what is one technology tool that contributes the most to your success as a digital entrepreneur?
Oh, I would say the marketing automation. So to me, I use ActiveCampaign personally, and it's been one of the better tools I found just from a price point standpoint. But marketing automation, man, like being able to, I constantly just come back to my dashboard and look, and there's a new subscriber. And another new subscriber, and I have it set up where it's almost like a 72-day nurturing sequence. So they just get content after content, and podcasting is a big part of it. But they just get that, and then there's a few asks in there, and then there's, you know, some segments they go. So I have almost like in my mind what marketing automation is that it's just like I'm having another employee, actually a couple employees, because you can use it for different points of the business. So it can help with the nurturing, the marketing, and then can transition into the sales. You know, nothing beats in the world of sales. Nothing beats a conversation. But what I'm finding is a lot of people don't want to have conversations anymore. They're comfortable with just making that decision as long as they're getting the right information. Doing that. And then once they do become a customer, how are they getting customer service? So following up with them and having that automated. But the key I find is that you have to make it not seem like it's automated. You have to have it a very personal approach. And that takes some finesse. That's something that I've been working on, have worked on for a very long time. And it works, you know, tremendously once you figure it out. So so marketing automation, I would say, is definitely the tool that we've been using more and more often.
Yeah, well, you know, and when you do it well, your content can almost serve as your sales force, and then as your service team. Now, obviously, at a certain point, you know, people may need a little bit more than that. But like you said, if you can finesse it, it can really work out well. So that's a good one. So what about a non-technology tool that contributes the most to your success?
Relationship building. Hmm. You hear people like, it's so funny, like I've been following Gary Vaynerchuk for a very long time, ever since he came out with Crush It. And I remember I read that book and it just completely changed my philosophy on things, just more so about not what he was doing, because I was doing a lot of what he was doing as well. Obviously not on such a large scale as he was, but just being the person that you are and just being comfortable with who you are. And I think he's the best of just, you know, not giving a shit what other people think about him, but at the same time, still giving a crap. I apologize. I don't know if you're allowed to swear on this, but this was only the first time that I did that. But the relationship, he talks about EQ, emotional intelligence, and that's what I have really always been good at. I mean, it's just something that I picked up. I don't know, because, you know, I'm a child of divorce, and so I went through that when I was 11, and ever since that I was in therapy, and I don't know, maybe that's just how I really have been well trained in how to pick up different people's emotions and figuring out what's wrong, and when even when they won't tell you something is wrong. And so I can pick that up from clients, and be able to bring that up to their bring that up and avoid, you know, bigger blowups and have a conversation about that and then be civilized and just work through those problems. And even it comes down with partners and people that you're working with and people who are employees, you know, it comes to all parts of it, but being able to really find out what makes them tick. And I think that's really important with, especially with clients too, because, you know, the clients, you got to find out what's below that surface. It's not just the tip of the iceberg, but it's really what is that driving motivation for them to do these things that they want to do. And then also transitions to people that are working with you, underneath you, for you, however you want to describe it, and see what their motivations are and identify what their strengths and weaknesses are as well. Because they might tell you one thing, but in a lot of times what I find is, especially with like weaknesses, you got to find out what it is and quickly nip that in the butt and really gear it more towards their strengths so it can just work better for everybody. Because the faster you can set them up for success, the better off the entire organization is going to be.
Absolutely. So earlier I asked you for one word that you would use to sum up your business as it stands today, and you said limitless. Mm-hmm. If we talk again in a year, what would you want that one word to be?
Oh, man. Describe my business in one word in a year from now. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't want it to be anything but limitless, because if I'm gonna hit that 5 billion mark, Jared, it's better be limitless for a very long time.
That's right. That is right.
So I'm gonna stick with that answer. That's okay. My final answer.
We will, because of the special circumstances, we're going to allow it. No one else comes on here claiming they want to impact 5 billion people, but when you do, then we're going to allow you to use a word like limitless twice. So
awesome. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, you are the exception. Awesome. Okay, so do you have time for a few rapid fire questions here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so if you could have every person who will ever work with you or for you or as part of your A team of contractors that you mentioned earlier, if you could have all of those people read one book, what would it be?
Oh, this, wow. One book, man, you make it hard with this one thing. I don't know. I'm going to take it to a most recent book. One of the more recent ones that I've read, Chop Wood and Carry Water.
Ooh, I like that name, that title.
Yeah, it's a newer book, and I wouldn't say it's on any like New York Times bestseller list yet, but if you go check it out, it's Chop Wood, Carry Water by Joshua Metcalf. It is awesome. Hmm. It's all about, understanding, enjoying the process of being great, and achieving greatness. And then it is a process. And I think a lot of people get caught up, especially as entrepreneurs, we want everything. We don't have patience. We want everything immediately. And we are sometimes, you know, we'll shoot ourselves in the foot by thinking too short term instead of understanding that this is an entire process. And it really just opens your eyes and appreciates everything that's happening. All you can do is learn from it and grow and continue to move forward and appreciate that process.
That's a great one. That book sounds wonderful. If you could have a 30-minute Skype call to discuss your business tomorrow with anyone, who would it be? Anybody.
Discuss my business.
Yep. 30 minutes.
30 minutes. Brian Clark.
Ooh, okay.
I just really I've followed everything that you guys have done, and he's done a beautiful thing of just transitioning from one business to another, and just he's grown this empire that I see, at least from the online perspective. And I would love to just be able to, for 30 minutes, pick his brain and see how everything has gone through that entire process, you know, how it started, what were some trials and tribulations, now what he's doing with his life and the business side of it. So that would be definitely one person I would always, that I've always wanted to have a conversation with.
That would be a value-packed 30 minutes. No question.
Absolutely.
No question. Okay, what is the one email newsletter that you can't do without?
So Neville, I think it's Neville Medora. I don't know if you know him. He's a copywriter. Copywriter course. It's with a K. Hold on. I just got one from him this morning. Let me see if I'm producing his name. He's actually a local guy here in Austin, and his claim to fame was that he did some work. He was the copywriter for AppSumo, and and does like sumo mi, and he does it. His writing though is just beautiful, like in the sense like if you ever talk to him in person, it's the same thing. It just transitions beautifully, and he just talks about things that are relevant to my business and what I'm doing and what I'm trying to do. And so and copywriting is also always a skill set of mine that I'm always trying to develop. So whether it's reading his or copy blogger is a big one too that I enjoy. So so his I would definitely say I can't live without.
Okay. Neville Medora, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What non-book piece of art has had the biggest influence on you as a digital entrepreneur?
So I am a big fan of Michael Jordan.
Ooh, okay. We share that.
Yep. Awesome. I grew up, you know, in Chicago, Midwest guy like yourself. Mm-hmm. And I grew up, I was about 9-10 years old when the six championships happened.
Yep.
And so I grew up watching and stayed up late. Remember the first championship when they were tipping over cars. And so, I have a poster of Michael when he's doing it from the free throw line, the slam dunk contest, famous dunk. And anything from him inspires me. Even that piece, it's just a poster. It's like black and white, has his jersey's red. I would call it art. And that just inspires me. I had these little different posters in my office of people like that. And some have quotes on it, some of it don't. But his definitely inspires me because he's the epitome of greatness, you know, and also failure too. Like he's failed, and that's a big part of his story. And I love everything that he talks about, when he talks about his drive to success and his journey. So, I would say that's the biggest one that's been the most influential to me.
I would say that Michael Jordan playing basketball definitely qualifies as art.
Yes.
And number two, you know, one of the greatest commercials he ever had was the commercial where he talked about how he succeeded because he's failed. And he goes over all of his different failures and says that's why he succeeded. Oh, man. Is there anybody who grew up around the time we did and in the Midwest that didn't just love Michael Jordan? Even not, you didn't have to be in the Midwest.
No.
He was the man. Okay. What productivity hack has had the biggest impact on your ability to get more meaningful work done?
Health in general, this has been something that I've really focused a lot on in the last year, but really, really heavily in the last 3 to 4 months that have completely turned things around. I have never been so productive in my entire life, and it comes down to, I mean, there's other things, of course, like scheduling and all that, but just having the right type of energy and being in the right state of mind helps you tremendously into achieving so much during the day, because it's not always about how much you do. It's not about working 16 hours in the day, but it's about how much you can get done in that 16 hours. And so, or even if it's just 8 hours, how much can you get done? Because a lot of people can get a lot done in 8 hours, 9 hours, and not have to work those grueling 16 hour days, although sometimes they're necessary. So, I've just been taking care of my body, eating clean, exercising regularly, taking nutritional supplements that have helped tremendously. Those kind of combination of those three, and then I sprinkle in some meditation in the morning and affirmations, and that's really has been the recipe of success for me.
That's huge. I have found that in my own life as well. That's a really good one. I echo that.
Thank you.
All right. And finally, what is the single best way for someone inspired by today's discussion to get in touch with you?
Single best way? Email. Email is always the easiest way. It's Brandon@BrandonMLewin.com. I respond the quickest outside of text messages, but as of right now, I don't want random people texting me.
These are not random people. These are digital entrepreneur listeners.
I would love that. Don't get me wrong.
But still probably shouldn't give out your phone number over the podcast.
It's just like, I'm always like, when someone texts me like, hey, they're like, hey, I'm like, hey, who the hell is this?
Yeah. Yes.
So yeah, email would be great for right now. And then whenever we need to transition into it, that would be awesome. So or transition to like a text message or phone call. So, but yeah, email is the best way.
Cool. So Brandon@BrandonMLewin.com.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, Brandon, that brings us to the end of this episode. It has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Jared, thank you, man. This has been an absolute pleasure and a lot of fun. And I hope everyone gets something out of this.
Yep. And I look forward to someday sharing that mosaic with you. And we can reminisce about Michael Jordan and the Bulls.
Absolutely, man.
All right, man. Take care.
You too.
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much for being here, for listening to this episode of The Digital Entrepreneur. My thanks to our guest this week, Brandon Lewin. Really appreciate his time and his insight and his candor. My thanks also to the production team here at The Digital Entrepreneur, everybody at Rainmaker FM, Toby Lyles editing, Caroline Early and Will DeWitt, who helped me produce the show. Really appreciate the help there. And thanks to you, as always, for being here. And again, if you want to see the webinar that we did about Rainmail, maybe you have questions about Rainmail, maybe you're just hearing me say Rainmail for the first time and you're like, what is this? Email marketing baked into a platform? This sounds kind of cool. I want to learn more. Go to rainmaker.fm/rainmail. It will redirect you to the webinar replay page. And the nice thing is, Will actually went through and he created a table of contents. So you don't have to watch. It's a 2-hour webinar. You don't have to go through the whole 2 hours looking for what question you may have. You can actually look at the table of contents and see if there's a specific question that maybe you have or a topic that you want to see if we covered. Look, see if it's there, and you can actually skip ahead in the video to watch it. So again, rainmaker.fm/rainmail. Alrighty, we will be back next week with another brand new episode of The Digital Entrepreneur. Until then, take care, and we will talk to you soon.